Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Now, here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, broadcasting here from sunny, beautiful South Florida. It's a really beautiful day. I'm watching the palm trees sway. It's really nice. Today, I'm really excited to bring you back a friend of mine who's actually been here. This will be his third visit. We're going to have with us today Dr. John McGrail, who is always a fascinating, interesting guest. And Dr. McGrail is a clinical hypnotherapist, self-improvement expert, and spiritual teacher. And he has a unique therapeutic and teaching approach that blends his lifelong passion for understanding the human condition and spirituality with the experience and wisdom acquired through working with thousands of clients and students from all walks of life in his clinical practice and self-improvement motivational seminars and workshops. His website is drjohnmcgrail.com, and we'll go over that a little bit later, and hypnotherapylosangeles.com. Today we're going to be talking to Dr. McGrail about his take on the Four Agreements, which is such a great, great book written by Don Miguel Ruiz, and I'm sure you've probably heard of it. If not, I recommend that you read it because it is a life changer. But let me bring Dr. McGrail on so we can begin. Good morning, Dr. McGrail.
Hi, Randy. Please, John.
John. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
You, but professionally you are Dr. McGrail, so I just thought I would honor that.
I know you more personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not big on titles, but hey, it's wonderful to be back with you.
Yeah, it's great. Great to have you. Thank you for being my guest again. Like I told everybody, this is your third time, and it won't be the last because we always have things to talk about. John is the author of The Synthesis Effect, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. This is a really, really good book. I've read it a few times. Really, really helpful as a guide for life. But today we're going to talk about, like I said, the four agreements. So the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. How do you use that agreement in your practice?
Well, when Don Ruiz talks about being impeccable with your word, you know, the first thing you think about, if you haven't heard it or haven't read his book, is to be honest, to be sincere, to act with integrity. So, you know, and I always ask people, you know, if you say you're going to do something for someone, do you follow through? Is it important to you? Do you have a sense of personal integrity? And that's how most people think about it. And I have found over the years that people who answer that question quickly with a yes tend to do better, because the process of synthesis or any change, whether it's my process or anybody's, takes commitment. You have to be willing to do the work. And if you are a person who follows through, you tend to do the work. But much more importantly is the fact that Don Ruiz also says being impeccable with your word is not just following through and acting impeccably or flawlessly or purely, which does not mean perfect, with others, it means being impeccable with your word to yourself. And one of the keys that I have found over the years for creating personal change that lasts is a willingness, first of all, you have to really want whatever it is. You have to be willing to commit to yourself and do the work, which means I will do whatever it takes to get this done. That may sound scary, but it's not. And then the third is to love, honor, and respect yourself, which most are not very good at, because while we're born with tons of it, it gets beaten out of us as we grow. And by the time we're adults, we're all very good at being really hard on ourselves. And so being impeccable with your word is to not do that, is to love yourself, honor yourself, respect yourself. Don Ruiz says clearly, a sin is an act that hurts you. It doesn't hurt anybody else. God doesn't get hurt if we sin. We do. And so that's what it really means to be impeccable with your word, both to others, but most importantly to yourself. There's one last little thing that I love, and that is, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. In other words, life becomes much more simple. You don't have to make up stories, which tend to fall apart at some point. So be honest, be flawless, be impeccable with others and yourself, and it's amazing how your life begins to simplify and how things start to come to you. It really is.
So being impeccable with your word is, like you're saying, is not only in what you say to others, but it's in what you say to yourself, right?
Absolutely. Not only what you say, but how you treat yourself.
How you treat yourself, right?
Yeah, when you treat yourself with love, honor, and respect. And again, we're all born full of that. And then we learn to be hard on ourselves. We learn our limiting beliefs. We learn to think we're not good enough or worthy enough or whatever enough. And when we start realizing that it's all just an illusion at some level because it's what other people have told us, and we start acting with that integrity toward ourselves, it feels really right. I can't describe it any other way. It just feels so right at a very deep level. And, of course, in my process, as you know, how you feel is the ultimate measure of how well your life is working. If you're feeling good, then usually you're in a good place. And so, that's exactly what it means.
Right. And Don Ruiz says, in this chapter, he says, right now I'm planting that seed in your mind. So he's planting the seed about being impeccable with your word. It is up to you to make this agreement with yourself. I am impeccable with my word. He said, nurture the seed, and as it grows in your mind, it will generate more seeds of love to replace the seeds of fear. The first agreement will change the kind of seeds your mind is fertile for. So that's why he does that, uses be impeccable with your word as his first agreement. Can you tell us a little bit about your synthesis effect, John?
Well, sure. Another thing that I love about the four agreements, I'll start with that because it's based on the wisdom of the Toltec people who were an ancient culture, I believe, in Mexico. And their philosophy was based upon the philosophies and thought practices of so many other cultures, Babylon, Egypt, Taoism, Buddhism, the Mayans, Aztecs, the Aboriginal tribes of New Zealand, Australia, Africa, and on it goes, including our Native Americans and the Hawaiian kahunas. And synthesis was born of a realization many years ago when I was trying to figure out what to write for that title doctor. I was trying to think, well, what do I have to add to human behavior? I'm just this little guy, what am I going to write about? And I was really stuck, and then I realized that I had 1,000 case files in front of me, people that I had worked with over the years, and in there might be something. And I basically discovered that when you include the basic spiritual philosophies of the ancient indigenous cultures, and combine them with cognitive, logical, Western thinking, what we're all used to using, and working with the much more powerful part of our mind, the subconscious, with hypnotherapy and the other tools around that. When those three came together, people changed their lives quickly and profoundly. And so I call the process synthesis because synthesis is about bringing different ingredients together to create a stronger whole. So when you work with the conscious, logical, Western mind, and there are a lot of models and techniques we use the power of the subconscious mind, which is the generator of most of our behavior, and we include the ancient wisdom, and the reason it's still around is because it works, of these indigenous cultures, which is basically acknowledging our spiritual nature. When we synthesize those three ingredients together, we turn our lives around very, very quickly. And when I read Don Ruiz's book, it just blew me away because it's so simple and so elegant. And as you well know, we've talked about this before, the whole concept of synthesis is to keep it simple and easy as much as possible. And that's why I love these agreements. They're just so simple and so elegant and so powerful. It's hard to miss if you follow them.
You're right. You're right. I mean, these are things that are, right, they're so fundamental to us, and yet we miss them. So, you know, his book is has done so well and has changed so many lives. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. Well, as human beings, we tend to do this.
Yes, we do.
We are sensitive beings. We are emotional beings, and we have egos, and we do take things personally. So how do you see this? How do you see this agreement?
Okay. Well, this is a really, really powerful one because what you just described is so, so very true, mostly in our culture, by the way. But here's the way my take on it. We are all born with absolutely abundant and perfectly formed self-esteem. We have it. We have so much of it when we're very little, it's amazing. If you just look at any little kid, any little toddler, they are totally in love with themselves. They don't have any concept of failure. They don't care what anybody thinks about them. They're just full of love for themselves and anybody that wants to give it to them. And, of course, what happens, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is as we begin to live and grow older, we start comparing ourselves to other people, and people tell us that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not this enough. Very often, well-meaning parents and teachers who are trying their best to help us be better, but in their efforts, they actually undermine that incredible self-esteem. And so what happens is we learn to place our self-worth in the opinions of other people. And that is a huge mistake because everybody's got their own, you know, view of what is right or what is cool or what is this or what is that. And so pretty soon you don't feel very good. And we start taking things very, very personally. What people don't remember is, again, reality is just a perception. And my perception of reality and your perception of reality could be very, very different and often are based on our upbringings, our culture, our heritage, our ethnicity, et cetera, et cetera. And so the next thing you know, you don't think very much of yourself. You take everything personally. I'm not enough. And boy, is that disempowering.
It really is. He says in his book that even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and the opinions they give are according to the agreements they have in their own minds. And that talks
right
about the perception that you just explained, that everyone perceives life differently. No two people see it the same way.
Exactly.
So, and yeah, he says, if somebody says, hey, you look so fat, don't take it personally, because the truth is that this person is dealing with his or her own feelings, beliefs, and opinions. So fat to them may not be fat to you or fat to somebody else. So yeah, this is a really good one, and I think once we can master this one, our life becomes so much easier in all our interpersonal relationships, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. One of the keys, and I work with this so much, and I was one of them. I didn't think very much of myself, and I spent a good portion of my youth and adult life trying to be accepted and by others. But, you know, if you think about it, and I think Don Miguel actually says this as well, what others think about you or say about you is none of your business because you can't control them. And as one of my favorite spiritual teachers of all time, Abraham Hicks, Abraham says over and over again, there are too many of them, meaning all the other people in the world. There's 3 or 4 billion of us in this club we call humanity. There's too many of them. They're too fickle. You can never please them all. So it's sort of a futile and a fool's errand to try. So instead, if we can get back into our own self-esteem and realize that most of our limiting beliefs, most of the things we think are not good enough about us, are completely false. And I have a technique, a little exercise that I use, and it's really powerful. It's called the show me, prove it. Take all the things you think are not good about you and show me facts. Give me absolute proof that what you think isn't good enough about you is true. Show me that the earth is flat. If you can prove it to me, then I'll believe it. And, of course, I do this all the time with clients. Show me, give me some evidence that you are not worthy of having a great career or a great relationship or whatever it is that you're missing and wanting and you don't think you deserve it. Show me, where is it? And they can't. Well, if you can't show me, that means it cannot be true. And if it cannot be true, this is using Western thinking, then the opposite must be true. Of course you deserve it. Now let's start working on that. And the other thing that's really important about this, Randy, and I know you and I have talked about this before, because this is someone says something to you. They may say, okay, you look so fat, to use your example. All right, well, now, they've said it. What do you do with that? Do you just take it personally, or do you say, okay, that's your opinion, and I don't really care? Because what you do or how we respond is a choice. We can choose to respond any way we want. And when we learn to respond in a way that is empowering to us, then self-esteem comes back in spades. And boy, there's nothing better than that, because self-esteem doesn't require anybody else. And then you can forget about the 7.3 billion people out there you're trying to please. You'll find plenty that like you. I call it your tribe. You'll find your tribe, people that have similar values and think similarly and are going to think you're just swell, and you them. And once you got your tribe, you don't need the rest of them.
That's so true. And I love your approach, the show me approach. I just think that's so ideal, because I run into that kind of thing all the time where people have misconceptions about who they are because of messages that have been put in your head. But, you know, he also says in this chapter that even when people say good things about you, to not let it go to your head, to not take it personally. He says, you know, it's not important to me what you think about me, and I don't care what you think personally. I don't take it personally when people say, Miguel, you are the best. And I also don't take it personally when they say, Miguel, you are the worst. So is that, we want to feel good about ourselves. But what is he trying to say there, you think?
Well, I think my take on that is that, you know, first of all, this word ego, this part of us, and we all have one. Every single human being on the planet has an ego, and everyone always has. It can run amok. I like to think of the ego as a 3-year-old child that lives in your subconscious mind. And like any 3-year-old child, if you let it out of the playpen, it'll find a way to get in trouble. And that's just the nature of 3-year-old kids. And our subconscious mind really never gets much older than 3. So my take on that is that while we don't want, and I've had many clients over the years say, in fact, there's a chapter in my book where we talk about this young man who made these incredible strides, and at one point we started talking about taking things personally or not. And he said, well, am I supposed to get rid of my ego? And of course not. Your ego is you, but we have to keep the child in the playpen. And so my take on that is to live with your ego in balance. If you don't take the insults personally and you don't take the accolades too personally, your head doesn't get too big and it doesn't get too small, and you just make sure that you are living your life according to your core values, those attributes that are important to you, that you treat others in a way that serves your growth, your well-being, and the greater good, so you don't get to be some vain, selfish person. person that everybody dislikes, because that's not fun. If you just keep that all balanced, I think that's what Don Miguel means, then, again, life flows beautifully. You don't get too high, you don't get too low, and you maintain a nice balance. And you know, listen, I love compliments. Who doesn't? Who doesn't, you know, Randy, you helped me change my life in incredible ways. You are a shaman. And you go, oh, wow, that feels great. But then you got to remember, hey, wait a second. No, that's not really true. I helped, but I didn't do it. You did it. And so I think it's about, I think it's about balance. And there's one last point around not caring what other people think. I think, this is just an opinion, that there should be a certain few individuals that I call reflectors, people who truly love you unconditionally, people who are truly concerned with your well-being, so that if they give you input, if they say, hey, Randy or John, you know, you're a little out of whack here, you're off base, you will listen to them because they really have your well-being at heart. And there are only few of those people. I don't think you should have more than two or three. My wife is one of my reflectors, and if she says, you know, honey, such and such and such and such, I will pay attention to that. And I also think that even when your reflectors give you that sort of input, remember, only two or three special members of your tribe get this honor and privilege. Most of the time, we know when we're out of whack anyway, but it just sort of serves to, you know, confirm it. Okay, I got to do a little thinking on this. But that's, if we just live in balance, it's great.
Right, and that's, you know, and that's something that we probably will spend a life working on, lifetime working on. Okay, so the next one I want to move a little faster because I don't want to run out of time. I want to get to all these four agreements.
Sorry.
But the third agreement is, and it's, you know, and it's me. I'm, you know, I just want to know so much about this that I keep asking questions. The third agreement is don't make assumptions.
Right.
And when we make assumptions, we believe that the assumptions we have are true, but they're not really based on truth, are they?
No. It gets back to what we talked about earlier, and we can get through this one pretty quickly. Everyone has their own view of reality. What you feel is your reality is your perception of it, your dream, as Don Miguel calls it. And we tend to forget that other people don't see the world the way we do. And so what happens is that we see a behavior or a reaction or we perceive something from our point of view, and we do what we call a mind read. We assume that we know what that other person means or is feeling. And most of the time, we are wrong. It's as simple as that. I think this is one of the most common pitfalls, and I find in the Four Agreements, which I, by the way, use diligently, I not just in my work with my clients, but with myself, because it's so simple. But this is the one that's hardest for me. It takes a lot of practice to say, hey, wait a second, is what I think really what's happening? And you have to be honest with yourself. You know, we've made human behavior such a complex thing. You look at the science of psychology. It's so complex and convoluted, and we're always worried about catching or being some disorder or one another. But if you just remember, hey, so-and-so is probably looking at the world differently than me, why don't I just ask them what's going on? I'll just calibrate this behavior. That's the term we use. It's called calibration. Randy, you just looked away. Are you bored? Are you mad at me? Did I say something? and then you would say, well, no, I looked away because what you're saying is so important to me. And because I'm an auditory person, I need to hear things to really process. I broke eye contact with you, not because I was bored or because I was really trying to get it. Then I say, oh, good, because I was about to assume that you're kind of a creep. And so that's all we have to do is just remember that we all have our own reality, none of which is true, because we all have internal filters. And if we can just approach our communications and our interpersonal relationships from that perspective and take a moment to say, wait a second, what I think is happening may not be what's happening, simply ask, are you mad at me? I think you're mad at me. That's my perception. And the person may say, well, yes, I am. All right, well, now you know. Or they may say, no, I'm not mad. I'm something. You go, oh, okay. So with that person at that moment, now you know what's really going on, and suddenly communication is not miscommunication. And that's what he means by don't make assumptions. Don't think what you think or your dream is someone else's dream.
Right. It's so true. I mean, don't we all do that? We do. And he also said don't make assumptions about yourself, because then you may not be able to do things. You know, if you tell yourself you can't do it, you won't be able to do it.
Right.
You know, I had a thought. Do you think expectations are kind of the other side of assumptions? Like, you know, when we have expectations for what we think other people are going to say or do, and we get disappointed that they don't say or do those things, do you think that's related?
Oh, very much so. That is so insightful. Yes. I never really thought about it that way. But, yeah, expectations are usually based upon our view of the world, and the expectations can be positive or negative. And as you said, if you expect that you can't do something, then you will find a way not to do it. And if you expect someone else to be able to read your mind, and I do a lot of relationship coaching, especially along with my wife, who's a life coach, and we find over and over and over again that couples have this conflict going on, and it's so often because someone's taking something personally. They expect their partner to read their mind, to know what they want. Well, why didn't he take out the garbage? It was sitting right in the middle of the room. Well, I put it right there so he would see it. And he didn't see it because he was talking to a business partner or something, you know. So, yeah, expectations are exactly fit into this. I love that.
Okay. Good. Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad you see it the
point.
Way I do. Yeah, we usually see eye
do.
To eye, John.
Well, we also ask, don't we? So there you go.
Right. We ask. So the fourth agreement, always do your best. Well, you know, we've been told that our entire lives, that we should
right.
always do our best. But is our best always the same? And should we hold ourselves to certain, here we go again, expectations. Yeah.
Well, there you go. And again, Don Miguel has so beautifully expressed what this means, because he says, commit to doing your best. Be the best you can all the time. But then he says, remember, your best is going to be different on different days. So some days we're completely on our game and our best is amazing. And some days we may be a little energetically out of balance, or we may be a little sad or something else, and our best might not be so amazing. But if you do your best with whatever you've got going at the time, that's as good as it gets. And I think that's what he means by committing to doing your best. Remember, your best is not always going to be the same. And then this doesn't become so daunting. People think, oh, my God, I've got to be amazing all the time. And if I'm not, there's something wrong with me. And even more important is the concept of perfectionism. People think they have to be perfect. And that is just an invitation to failure, because while our spirit, that energy is perfect and timeless, when we take physical form, called humanity, we are by nature accepting imperfection. And people think that being their best means being perfect, and you cannot be perfect ever. And so it just leads to this, you know, long sort of downhill slide, and then they end up in your office or my office. And so, you know, remember that you can be excellent. And excellentism, which is a word I coined and I use all the time, is attainable. And even that is not always going to be the same. So, yeah, it's just be the best you can be at any given time. Know you're imperfect. You're going to be angry. You're going to be sad. You're going to make assumptions. You won't always be impeccable with your word. You're going to screw up. We do. It's just part of life. We all have stuff. But if we just commit to doing the best we can, you'd be amazed at how good the best can be most of the time.
Yeah, in his book he uses Forrest Gump as an example. He said he didn't have great
yes.
ideas, but he took action. He was happy because he always did his best at whatever he did, and then he was rewarded
right.
because he never expected anything from what he did. So, I tell people about when we're striving to do something or to be something, that it's not really the end goal that we should strive for, but the process of getting there. Because we'll never be happy if we're always trying to reach a goal and then we get it and we need the next thing. So it's really in the process of, you know, doing our best to get to, you know, our goals and things like that, that's really where the importance is, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we don't realize is that as soon as we reach the top of a mountain, as soon as we attain a goal, whatever it is, you turn around, it's going to be another mountain. Life is process. It is always process. We are always in process. And so many people get so caught up in the end result that they lose the joy of the process of creating the end result. And I don't care who you are. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure there are exceptions. But I don't think there are many people who attain a certain level and say, okay, I'm done. And I get so many clients that say, you know, especially younger people, that, you know, because we live in a world of instant gratification and, you know, technology, as miraculous as it is, I mean, look at us. We're having this wonderful conversation, sharing it with hopefully thousands and thousands of people. You're in Florida. I'm in California. It's all happening in real time. That's great. And we can have this information right now. But, and if you get, you know, I get someone that's in their late 20s or early 30s, and they say, you know, I want the job, I want the car, I want the husband or wife, I want the kids, I want it, I want my stuff, and then I can be happy. And then I say, well, if I could do that, and I do have a magic wand in my desk, and I take it out usually right about now, I say, okay, here's my magic wand, I'm going to tap you on the head, and you got it all. Now, what are you going to do for the next 70 years of your life? And of course, oh, so yes, if we just remember it's all process, that's all we ever get. And if you can embrace the process and live in the moment, which is all you can really do, then life becomes so much more fun. And of course, as you know, rule number one in my methodology is that life is supposed to be fun.
Right.
It gets to be a lot of fun. And you do get your goals. You climb your mountains, but you'll continue climbing mountains until you decide to leave and go transition back into what we call the non-physical realm at the end of this miracle we call our lives.
I love your, you know, I love your approach to everything. It's so logical and so simple, John. You know, we just tend to miss these things. We tend to forget these things as we go through life. Life is so complicated, and we get so sidetracked by things that we really forget the basic stuff. But
yeah, we do. And again, that goes right back to the whole concept of the Toltecs and the ancient cultures and their wisdom. And I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm so sorry, but you're so right. We forget the basic stuff. And I freely admit, when before I went through my process of learning the four agreements and getting rid of my stuff, I had a lot of it. We are bombarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, particularly in modern Western culture, with the fact that we are not enough. There's not enough money. There's not enough fame. There's not enough fortune. There's not enough sex. There's not enough this. There's not enough that. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. And because you're bombarded with it, we end up believing it, and we forget the basics. But when you go back to the basics of just living in energetic balance, and these four agreements are so simple. You know, I had a client a couple of years ago. A professional person came in and sat down, and I don't remember exactly what their issue was, but, you know, right along these lines, what we're talking about. And in the very first session, I said, you know, there's a book that I'm probably going to have you read. It's called The Four Agreements. And the person said, I said, oh, no. I said, well, I read that. I said, okay. And it was a she. She said, what, too simple. And I went, what? And she said, oh, yeah, it's just too simple. And I said, well, why does it have to be complicated? Why can't things be simple? And that was our first and only session. You know, she thought that I was a simpleton or something, and of course, never came back. But you're right. It is simple. And so if we just remember that, we can live so much more powerfully. And life is supposed to be fun. We're not put on earth to suffer. We come to earth to learn, to grow, to evolve. So this allows us to do that. And I just think that of all the books that have ever been written that just make it simple, this is one of the best, Don Miguel's. And mine too, of course.
Why don't we talk a little bit about your book, Don?
Okay.
Your book is called The Synthesis Effect, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. Let's just talk a little bit about that and where you are and how people can contact you and all that stuff, good stuff.
Well, thank you so much. My book is again, based in simplicity, and it's about using the logical, conscious, cognitive, Western thinking that we all are so good at, working at a much more profound level, the subconscious level, and of course, bringing this concept of simplicity, our true nature of spirit, the ancient wisdom from the ancient cultures together in a very, very, I like to think it's a very easy, entertaining way. It sounds really, you know, the title sounds very foreboding, but it really is pretty simple. And I tried to make it fun. And the reader, you know, we first create understanding and then introduce a set of tools and then how to use these tools in a very simple way. And it incorporates a lot of the same thinking that we mentioned in the Four Agreements to create change and transformation in your life very powerfully. And along the way, as you start doing it, right, in the introduction, I give the first assignment, these very simple techniques and exercises. And then along the way, I share a lot of stories of people who have been through the process, people like you and me. I'm just an everyday person. And I had a lot of stuff. I was not a happy camper at one point in my life. And I went through what I call rediscovering my true self, which I think the Four Agreements help you do as well. So that's what the synthesis effect is about. And, you know, my intention when I wrote the book was to create this thing that could really help people. And, of course, the proof is in the pudding, but the reviews have been astounding to me. I'm gratified, and I think I was inspired to write it. I don't think I'm that much more smart than anybody else. But anyway, it's available on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, and read the reviews, and you know, I'd love to have people take a look at it. As far as reaching me, thank you so much for that opportunity. I can be reached through my website, drjohnmcgrail.com, or hypnotherapylosangeles.com. That's my hypnotherapy website. And I can be reached by email or phone or text. And no, not by text. My cell phone's not on the sites. But if anybody's curious, Randy, and I know you do the same thing, and I use your name a lot to people. I send people to you. If you reach out and contact me via email or phone, and I have clients all over the world, thanks to technology, you will get a personal answer back. I don't have people that do that. And I do answer it, believe it or not, I answer every email and every phone call personally. But I so hope that the folks that we're talking to today, take a minute. If you haven't read the book, not mine necessarily, please take a look at it. You know, I'd love to have you read it. But Don Miguel's book, The Four Agreements, if you haven't read it, please do so. And if you have read it, based on our conversation, maybe take another look, rethink it a little bit. I'm sure a lot of people like that client think, that's too simple. It can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. You know, I feel like I'm under this mountain of stuff, whatever it is. There's no way four little things can change my life, but they can, I promise.
You're right.
And
you're right.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah. And we're talking today to Dr. John McGrail. It's McGrail. And you've been publishing, and if people email you, they can get on your list of you send out newsletters. And the last four newsletters were about the Four Agreements. So how can people get those, get copies of those or read those?
Well, thank you. There are a couple of ways we can do that. If anybody is interested, you can go to my website, drjohnmcgrail.com, or hypnotherapylosangeles.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I will get notified with any new signups, and I would be happy to personally send the links to those blog posts. They were originally blog posts, and they can go directly to them. Or you can go to drjohnmcgrail.com, click on blog. You have to go back a while because when I first did this, I think it was about in 2013. So you have to go back through the past posts. but they're there in their original fashion. So either way, they can get to those newsletters, because I have so many people say, you know, this is so cool, you got to do this again. So I just reissued those articles, as you know, a few weeks ago. And thank you so much for saying, you know, we got to do a show about this, because I just love this topic and I love that book. It really is one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, definitely. Did you give us your email address?
Oh, let me do that. It's Dr. John McGrail, DrJohn, my last name, McGrail, drjohnmcgrail@gmail.com.
Perfect.
And if anybody's interested, email me with your questions or comments, good or bad. I don't take anything personally, but I do love to learn. And you know, if people say, well, you know, I don't agree with you, that's great. And if they say, oh, I thought it was great, that's great too. Thank you very much. But either way, I learn. And that's, you know, maybe another topic, because I know we're almost out of time. So today we can talk about failure. And I don't believe there is such a thing. Yeah. Learning is what we're about. That's the whole process. We're in process. We're learning constantly. So whether something works out or not is not a failure. It's a learning. And anyway, I don't want to get on a whole other topic, because unfortunately,
I know we'll save that for next time. We'll save that for next time.
Let's do that.
That would
be a fun topic. It really would
be. Yeah, we'll talk about it, and we'll schedule another time so you can come back on. So, well, thank you again. You know, you're such a good friend, and you're always a wonderful guest. So thank you for being our guest today and elaborating on this information, because, like you say, some people can read through this book and it can be so, they can just totally miss it. But the way that you've explained it really brings it out and makes it so much more profound. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us today,
Randy,
John.
It is my deep pleasure, and I love working with you. So thank you for inviting me back, and anytime. And it is a great system that Don McGrail has come up with. And I'm just going to say this shameless plug: if you take the two books and put them together, I think you'll see how well they fit and how well the synthesis process fits with the four agreements. And I promise you, all of you, your life will change if you do these agreements. It will, has to. Guaranteed.
I agree. Ditto. Whatever he said, that's right. That's absolutely right. You should buy both books. Well, I have to say goodbye to you, but I'll be talking to you soon, and have a beautiful day out there in California.
And back in Florida. Thanks so much, Randy.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's loveyourlife@randigfine.com. And also stop by my website, randygfine.com. You could spend days in there just browsing around, reading articles, clicking on links. I have links to all my shows. There's just something for everybody there, and it's so many different topics. So check it out, randygfine.com. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, author and life issues counselor. Signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be.